to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning, Columbia CSL. It is so good to be with you. And I want to thank everybody right off the top of the time right here. I want to thank everybody who kept me in your prayers during an interesting last part of January. So thank you so very, very much. Also, a shout out to the beautiful Reverend Rafe Ellis and his beautiful wife, Deborah. Columbia, you are in for a beautiful, beautiful treat. With Reverend Rafe. He brings wisdom, he brings gifts, he brings joy, he brings a solidness, and he brings a sense of humor that is something else. So again, it is so good to be with you. So today I want to talk about finding the pearl. Finding the pearl, you know, this is the month of curiosity, right? Curiosity as our superpower. I would like to say that curiosity is not only one of our superpowers. I want to take it like this. I think, and I believe, and I feel, and I know that curiosity is a gift. That we were created with many, we were brought here, we've been given many gifts, the gifts of choice, which I love, the gifts of imagination, but the gift of curiosity is just as important. If it wasn't for curiosity, as babies, we probably wouldn't even start to crawl or to walk or, you know, but that's a part of the growth. See, curiosity being the gift is a part of our growing process. So as we start to evolve, as we start to grow up, as we go through this evolutionary thing called change, from being a child to a teenager, to being an adult, to being more of an adult, and to being more of an adult, there's that gift of curiosity that, and I believe a lot of us have felt this somewhere along the line where it's like, there's something within us that says there must be more. There must be more to life than this. If you felt that, or when if you haven't felt it and you start to feel it, know that it is that gift within you saying, be curious about this beautiful thing called life. There's more to it than meets the physical eye. So we start to listen to that voice. There must be more to it. There must be more to it. So for me, there are so many different parts in my life, but I want to talk about this one point in my life where that curiosity was so strong. And at the time, I think I was in my 14th year of being an optician and loved that field, working with patients and, you know, working with eyeglasses and contacts and all that good stuff, and was really good at what I did. Loved that field. But I remember going into the clinic. I remember going into the office one day. And, you know, I'm like, there must be more to life than this, right? There must be more. There is this curiosity because I everything was going fine, except for there must be more than this. So it's like, okay, so what is it? Now that's the question. There must be more. Okay, great. What is that more? So that's where my curiosity start to really poke and prod me, right? It started to push me and to pull me. There must be more. There must be more. So eventually, I decided to leave the field of opticianry and become a massage therapist. Who knows why? Well, I do know why. And so that's what I did for a couple of years. Great field. The business was going great until it wasn't. It went like, ooh, right? And again, the curiosity, or I was asking myself, there must be more. There must be more. And so that field guided me into energy work and meditation, more meditation. I've been a meditator for a long time, but it did deepen that practice. But there must be more. That was the question. And then it became a statement. It's like, Is there more to life than this? Became, there's more to life than this. Seek it. Seek it. And that's when the journey really began in earnest. So I consciously began to seek. Now, we have heard it written, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. There's one more I can't even think of. Seek and ye shall find. Knock. So we keep seeking. But see, let me take it to the Gospel of Thomas, which takes it a little deeper than seek and ye shall find. You know, ask and it shall be given. Knock and the door shall be open. In the Gospel of Thomas, we read this. And Yeshua said, let them who seek continue seeking until they find. When they find, they will be troubled. When they become troubled, they will then be astonished. And then they will rule over all. So there are five things there, right? Seek, right? Start the seeking, start looking. You know, what is it? There must be more. Let me start looking for that. Now, here's the thing about seeking. Finding is inherent within the seeking. So when we consciously start to seek, know that you're going to find. It's like the answer is inherent within the question, right? So when we make up our minds to seek something that is calling us forward, rest assured that we're going to find. So that's number two. We're going to find it. We're going to find it. Number three, when we find it, we're going to be troubled. Now, what does that mean? It means that when we start to find not only what we've been looking for, but when we start to find ourselves, we are troubled that we're not who we thought we were. We're troubled when we start to find that life is not what it is all cracked up to be. In fact, there's even more. However, we have to go through this period of irritation, where, as we talk about with the oyster, which is an interesting thing. They say that the oyster is going through some irritation and that's what creates the pearl. Has anybody really asked the oyster if they're irritated? Or is that just a part of its process of birthing something that is valuable, something to think about? We will be troubled when we find. So for me, I was troubled. I was upset for a long time because I realized that who I thought I was not. I thought I was Eugene Holden, the great optician, Eugene Holden, the musician, Eugene Holden, the whatever the title was, right? But there was so much more. And my ego, that egoic mind, started to go crazy. And if we're not careful, that ego will trip us up. That ego tripping will really trip us up. So we go through that process of being troubled, but we're still being pulled by that curiosity. We are still being pulled by that vision. We are still being pulled by that purpose, which, by the way, the vision and the purpose are also one of those things that are inherent within us when we come to the spiritual plane called Earth. See, I truly believe that we have come to the spiritual plane called Earth to remember who we are. I don't think that we are here to learn anything. I don't think life is here to give us lessons. I think that life is here to remind us of who we truly are, to remind us that we are greater than what we thought ourselves to be, that you are greater than who you think you are even now. No matter how great you think you are, guess what? Because we are infinite beings, there is more, and there is more, and there is more, and there is more. Now, when we become troubled, oh man, we get to look back and we have our spiritual practices. We learn these spiritual practices to help us to get through those troubled times. meditation and prayer, prayer and meditation, sitting in the stillness. Jesse, thank you so much, reminding us that it is stillness that is the place. See, without the stillness, there is no activity, right? Out of the stillness comes the activity of spirit, which you are. Out of the silence comes the word of spirit, which you are, right? So we start to get into our spiritual practices of prayer and meditation, and we start to get still. And then as we continue that practice, oh man, then we become astonished because our physical eyes are opening up, and it's not even that our physical eyes are opening up. Maybe our physical eyes are beginning to close so that we may see through not the third eye, but the first eye. We start to see life through that inner eye that is now witnessing the invisible, right? We start to open up the inner ear so that we now start to hear the inaudible, and we are astonished at this thing called life. So now we start to see that the physical manifestations that are outside of us, we start to see beyond the physical manifestations to the source, which is that still sacred voice of the Most High. That still sacred voice of the Most High. And now that, if that's not amazing, if we're not astonished by recognizing that, or as I like to say, this is from Rumi, if we're not in awe, we are not paying attention. See, now we are astonished, we are amazed at how life truly is, how good life truly is, in spite of the appearances, which is why we read in scripture, do not judge by the appearances. Right? And then after being astonished, it goes on to say, and they will rule over all. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to become dictators. That doesn't mean that we're going to rule over the world. What that means is that we're going to have dominion over everything in our own lives. Why? Because you, me, and we are the creators of our world. We are the ones who get to create what it is that we wish to experience. See, we get to rule over all of the negative thoughts that used to come. Okay, maybe not you, but me. I get to rule. I have dominion over those negative thoughts that used to come into my mind, especially those disempowering thoughts like, I am not enough. I will never be good enough. Nobody likes me. I am not this or I am not that. Now, because we begin to seek and we find and we are troubled and then we become astonished, and now we are rulers in our own world, in our own universe, which is an interesting thing when I put it like that, because even though I say it's our own universe, guess what? Because there's no separation. What we think, what we call, what I think, what I call my universe is connected with your universe. Why? As Dr. Holmes reminds us, there's only one life. That life is God's life. Call it what you want. Call it God, call it spirit, call it universal intelligence, but call it forth. That life is perfect. That life is perfect. Just the way it is, even in the seeming imperfection, it is purpose. It is that too. It is perfect. And Holmes put it this way, that life is my life now. I like to say it like this. There's only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. I am that life now. For we truly are the life of the infinite. The song before the broadcast, I am the light, right? I am the light. So we are the light. So what we are here to do, my brothers and sisters, is to really connect with what we have been seeking. So what do I mean by that? We want to connect with what we have been seeking. So what we have been seeking, now you've heard this said before, what we are seeking is seeking us. But that's not really it. See, because for me, that sounds like there's separation, right? What I am seeking is seeking me, right? So there's a separation here. What about this? What I am seeking, I already am. Breathe that in. What we are seeking, we already are. So when we say seek and ye shall find, you're seeking your higher power. You are seeking your spiritual identity. You are seeking the light that you came here to shine. And then we realize, wait a minute, I am that light. There's nothing to seek. Now, there's only to be. How cool is this, right? There's no more seeking. That's why we hear, be still and know. You know, it's an interesting thing, right? It's because it sounds like it's a like there's a contradiction. Seek and ye shall find, be still and know. So what do you want me to do? Seek and find or be still and know? It's actually both. Going back to the practice of stillness and meditation, it is in that meditative state that we are seeking to become one. Oh, thank you, Spirit. That we are seeking to become one again with ourselves. We are seeking to recognize, to know again, to recognize that right where we are, the divine is. So there's no more seeking. There's only a being. So when we say, be still and know I am God, that's huge. That's huge. To be still and know I am God. So I teach a what I call the scientific art of prayer class. And so each week I take, you know, each step, recognition, unification, declaration or realization, thanksgiving, and then realization. Release. Or I like to call it surrender. So we just finished week two. And what came to me is that the second step, unification. When we think about it, Reverend Rafe, unification is one of the most challenging steps that there is in those five steps, because it is calling us, it is challenging us to be one, not just with God, but as God. Now, what makes it challenging is that over eons or maybe centuries, you know, and maybe even a couple of thousands of years, we as mankind, humankind, womankind have been taught that there is this power outside of us and that we will never attain to. But that's not the truth. For Yeshua Messiah, as he was being questioned and getting ready to be stoned because he equated himself with God, and then he went to the book of Isaiah and says, wait a minute, isn't that not written in your laws that all ye are gods? So step two, I am one with God, is a challenging step because number one, we have to start to be willing to let go of the miseducation that I and God are separate, that I could never be one with God. There was in some religious teachings, you know, it's taught that there was only one that was perfect. There was one that was with God, and that's Yeshua Messiah. But that's not what he taught. He didn't teach that. What he came to do, and what we are here, all of us are here to do, is to remind ourselves first and foremost, and then to remind the people around us that we are the thing itself. Now, in that second step, really embodying that right where I am, God is. No matter where I go, I am God in action. Man, if that's not going to cause the waters to be troubled, nothing else will. Nothing else will. But as we continue to not only affirm that, that I truly am the expression of God, as we truly affirm that I am the representative of the divine because the divine represents itself as me, yeah, there might be some troubling times, but as we, because the ego mind is going, oh no, oh no, they're coming, they're waking up like Neo in the Matrix, right? They're waking up and the ego will do everything that it can to trip us up. But as we continue to seek within, as we continue to embody the power, the grace, the beauty, the majesty that we are. Ah, now there's no more seeking, right? There's no more trouble. And any trouble that tends or seems to come up from the outside, we know who and what we are. We are the divine being of light. We are the magnificent power of the infinite. So there isn't anything that we cannot face. There isn't anything that can keep us from shining our magnificent light. You know who you are. Well, okay, let me remind you just in case you forgot, because it's not that you don't know. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes I forget. But that's why I love my telephone. I have a phone book full of people that I can call that remind me, wait a minute, Eugene, wake up. Don't you remember who you are? Remember who you are. You were born, you were created in the spiritual image, the spiritual likeness, and out of the spiritual nature of life itself. You are magnificently created. So when the irritation comes, okay, welcome it. Why? Because that irritation smooths out the rough corners, right? Check this out. If God is all there is, and it is, if spirit is all there is, then it is. And then if spirit is the source of all that there is, and it is, well, then spirit is the source of the irritation. What? Yes, spirit is the source of the irritation, because that's spirit's way of waking us up to who we truly are as spirit. Man, finding the pearl is finding your true self. Finding the pearl. Finding the pearl is embodying who you truly are in spirit. Finding the pearl is having the courage to love unconditionally. Finding the pearl, but not just finding the pearl. Let's not just find the pearl. Let's be the pearl. The pearl of great price. So that when we are out during the day, when we are showing up as our natural born divine selves, without even trying, we change our little part of the world. Why? Because we are walking in, through, and as love. See, because truly, as cliche as this may sound, as corny as this may sound, we truly are here to love. We are here to be that vehicle of love. We are here to be that power of love. We are here to be loving, no matter what. And for me, that's the definition of unconditional love. I love you no matter what. A lot of you have heard me say this before, right? That I love you no matter what you have said or did not say. I love you no matter what you've done or have not done. And the important thing is to remember to love ourselves unconditionally. Yeah, so we've made mistakes, but it's just a mistake. So we get to take two, maybe we need to take three. Or as Dave Brubeck said, maybe we need to take five, right? It's just a mistake. And that mistake is there for us to learn. That mistake is maybe some of the sand that irritates us. But again, the irritation is rounding out those sharp corners of judgment, the sharp corners of condemnation, you know, those sharp corners of putting people down, especially ourselves. So we are rounding out those corners by that irritation or of the sands of the infinite. You are the pearl of great price. There's nothing to go and seek for. There's nothing to go look for. It is time to be still and know that you are divine. Let's pray. It is from this place of gratitude that I speak this word. I recognize first and foremost that there is this infinite intelligence from which all things are created. It is the very nature of this divine intelligence to permeate and to penetrate and to fill the interspaces of the universe, meaning that there is no space where God is not. It is that infinite intelligence that is living, moving, and having its being in through and as all of life, which means that is living, moving, and having its being in through and as my life and as your life. For we truly are the lives of God. It's amazing to me to recognize and to be one with this intelligence, knowing that from this one power, from this one presence, all of the myriad vibrations of life are manifested from this one intelligence. And so recognizing and acknowledging that we are one with God, I speak this word on behalf of all of us. I know that right here and right now, as we step into and stand boldly in the divinity of our being, we say yes to being the pearl of great price. We say yes to being the light that shines on everyone. We say yes to being the love of God itself. So knowing that this word is already complete, I give great thanks. It is from this place of gratitude and thanksgiving that I now release my word into the awesome, the dynamic and powerful action of love and law. You see, this is what I know. As this word is released into the law cannot help itself. It has no other choice. It has no recourse. It must take these words and mold them and shape them, design them, create them, and then return them unto us, not void or empty. Oh, no. These words, this word is absolutely fulfilling itself right here and right now. And so we just simply and in love allow it to be. And so it is. Amen. Ashe. Peace and blessings.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.